Now, my son, who's very similar to me, he does say that he's seen things, but I always try to find a explanation as to what he thinks he's seeing. I think he said, like, there's a woman that watches him from the hallway and doesn't move. But there's a woman that watches from the hallway right outside his door.
This is Kevin. Kevin grew up experiencing paranormal activity in his childhood home, and it sounds like his son has the same issue. It turns out that's not uncommon. In this episode, we are going to explore the stories kids tell about their ghosts. That's right, it's Growing Up Haunted too. Kids say the darndest things. I'm Dory Peacock, and this is the Ghost Box.
There have been a few nights where, I've woke him up in the morning and he was like, I was up so late because the woman was there and I was too scared. And I'm like, well, because we have a kid camera in there that if he tries to talk to us, we can hear him. I'm like, why didn't you say anything? I was too scared to talk. He hasn't reported it in quite some time, and his brother shares a room with him. They have bunk beds. And his brother has never experienced anything like it. So we just kind of try and help him come up with coping mechanisms. For a long time, he was very adamant that there's a woman from the hall that watches him.
Oh gosh, that's freaky.
Yeah.
That could be sleep paralysis too.
Right. And so we've talked about those kind of things and tried to come up with some ways that he can let us know. If he's experiencing something, or we usually keep the door closed when he sleeps. But yeah, that we try to find explanations, and I know that I coped with anxiety as a child, and so I try to give him some anxiety coping processes, breathing techniques, things to do before going to bed. And I think that's helped, but he's still pretty adamant that there's some paranormal things in our house.
Part of what makes it so scary when a kid says something weird or experiences something paranormal is that it's not quite clear what's going on. You can never tell if a kid is imagining or experiencing, and that ambiguity can be really scary. It can also be very hopeful. There's an entire subset of touching stories that internet historians like to call glurge. It's a sort of comforting, spiritually oriented story told by a child that emphasizes their innocence and purity. We've all heard the one about the girl trapped under the garage door who claimed to have seen angels floating above her. You'll remember Jody from our Lagoon episode and from our Growing Up Haunted episode. She had an interesting spiritual experience with her daughter.
So my daughter, she's 8 years old now, but she, from the time she was little, she would always jibber jabber talk to somebody. And they talk about kids having imaginary friends. Well, when she was probably about 18 months old, so she was kind of like mama, dada, the start, of holding conversations, and that. We had actually, my brother-in-law was watching her, and we'd come home and he says, "Gosh, she keeps staring at something and laughing and talking and everything like that." He goes, "It creeps me out." And I'd seen it too. And so I said, "Hodger," I said, "who's your friend? Who's the friend you're talking to? Who's that friend you're talking to?" She looks at me and she goes, "Bucky." I was stunned. And the reason why is my dad, his name was Bill, but he had buck teeth his entire life growing up, so he was always called Buck. Everybody who knew him called him Buck. They never called him Bill. There's no way my daughter could have known that, because she was 18 months old. My dad died in 1992, and she wasn't born until 2013. Probably about a year ago, we were in the car, and it was around the time that my dad had passed away. From the back of the car, my daughter goes, "Mom." I said, "What, hon?" And she knew I was kind of, you know, having a sad day. And she goes, "Bucky's here. And he told me to tell you that he loves you." So no doubt in my mind, that's who her friend was my dad.
Do you see what I mean about this kind of thing running in families? Kevin and Jody both grew up seeing and experiencing inexplicable things, and their kids do the same. It reminded me of the mother-daughter medium team I met while working on a story about the Merker Cemetery. You'll remember them. Their names are Jen and Mary. They told me about their earliest experiences with mediumship.
As for myself, I was about 4 years old, maybe five, and I was at my grandma's house, which was a haunted house anyways. But I didn't know that until way when I was older. And I was in the bathroom, and I was trying to go to the bathroom. I was kind of little girl constipated, and I was sitting there, and I happened to look over towards the bathroom area, and this old man just pops up in the bathtub, like just magically pops up. And to me as a little girl, I knew nothing about the word ghost and spirit. This was back in the 80s. And so I just thought some guy could use magic and he was going to kidnap me and he was going to take me. So I went screaming and running out of that bathroom. I don't remember what my parents said much. I do remember telling them what had happened. I do remember feeling reassured, and they did it. I remember feeling that they believed me, you know, because they knew more than I did at that point. So, but I don't remember them explaining what it was to them. I just remember saying, "He's gone now. You're okay," you know, whatever. And that was that. That was my first experience with being a medium.
So growing up, my parents always knew I was gifted, either because something bad would happen in the city and I would just be in a bad mood, crying, etc. But the first experience that stands out to me was when I was in elementary school and I was bullied a lot. And so a lot of the time I would just crawl under the portable classrooms and just sit there during recess. You're alone, it's dark, nobody's going to bother you. And I remember that I wasn't the best at reading at that point, and I was trying to figure out how to read Harry Potter. And I had looked over and there was a teenage boy that was sitting next to me. And I was like third grade at this time. And I remember thinking it was weird, but then I could hear him whisper out the words on the page. And I would just follow along until finally I figured out, like, it just clicked, reading clicked for me. And I haven't stopped reading since. But when we really started getting into investigating, I was around 13 years old. We had gone to Case Cross as one of our first investigations, and that's when I learned exactly what my gifts were. We had seen a tall, dark man in the orchards that are there, and I remember I could see him. Like, I could actually see what he looked like. I could sense the energy surrounding him, along with almost like I could feel like manipulate it away from us.
Okay, so the question here is, does mediumship run in families, or is it that if you are more likely to believe in the paranormal, so are your children? Does your behavior around the paranormal influence your children's behavior? It can be hard to tell. Next, we'll hear from my friend Natalie. Natalie is not a medium. Natalie did not grow up in a haunted house and doesn't have very many paranormal experiences of her own, which is what makes it kind of unsettling when her son, who we'll call Jeff, came to her with a few strange experiences.
Little backstory. He was born 2 months early. For a long time, we didn't know why. It was an emergency C-section. The doctors could not give us a definitive health reason. And so for years, I've always joked, oh, it's because he's not an Aries. He's a Pisces. He's Pisces as, I don't know if you're allowed to swear on this show. I don't know what your policy is, but he's Pisces as bleep. And so I've always thought that he's very tender, very emotionally connected, very empathic. But I didn't think that that translated into spiritual energy, communication, universal awareness, because he's just a little kid. And when I was a little kid, I was not thinking about ghosts or anything like that. So based on my experiences, I wasn't expecting him to have any experiences. However, about a year ago, when we first moved into our house, it's a new build, 2015, only one other family's lived here before us. He runs in to me in my husband's room one morning. I was asleep, you know, that kind of sleep where you can still hear what's going on around you, but you're not able to interact with it. You're still very much in, not REM, I don't know. Anyway, I was asleep. And he runs in, tells my husband, Dad, I had a vision. Okay, buddy, what was your vision? I saw a white puppy in the kitchen, and then it disappeared. And then I walked over to the office and I saw Mommy working at her desk. Reminder, I'm asleep in bed right now. So when I finally wake up, I ask my husband, what did he say? Did I dream this? No, you didn't dream it. said he had a vision of a dog and you. And I love ghost podcasts, obviously. So I'd been listening to some while I worked in the office at nighttime. So that night, I went downstairs and I said, hey, if there are any spirits here, you're chill. You're good to stay. But don't appear as us anymore. That's weird. And since then, nobody's appeared as us. So I thought maybe that was just like a one-time fluke. I don't know. We try very hard not to squash his creativity, his imagination, and sometimes that also bleeds into not squashing potentially paranormal experiences. So we just tried not to make a big deal about it and moved on. About 6 months later, I picked him up from school. We're driving, have to go run some errands, and he goes, Mom, we got into a car accident. A car hit us when we were driving past the red light, but then we went back in time, and the car didn't hit us. So I'm taking a breath, as parents do when they're trying not to freak out their kids. And I go, oh, is this a dream that you had? No, Mom. No, it happened just now. Oh, were you imagining? No, Mom, we got in a car accident and then we went back and the car didn't hit us. Oh, okay. So I don't even know if that's paranormal or if there was a glitch in the matrix or if he just got to see two different timelines. But this past week, my son got a box from one of our packages in the mail and he put a stuffed animal in it. He said, get well, puppy is grandma. And grandma died. What? Are you, did she die of any particular thing? Like, I don't know, maybe like a pandemic? I don't, is she okay? She died, Dad. So of course, my husband calls his mom. She's okay. But We are not the kind of family that normally acts out funerals and puts our grandparents in Amazon Prime coffins. So who's to say? Maybe it's prophetic. Maybe he's just a weird kid.
I hope little Jeff's grandparents are okay and that little Jeff's morbid play was not prophetic. Next, we're going to hear from Georgina. You'll remember Georgina from our Ouija board episode. Georgina had other experiences in her childhood home.
The one that I remember the most that I saw was in the house that I grew up in the corner of my bedroom. There was just a black shadow figure, and it like was just standing there. And I was like, oh, it must be like some shadow from something. But then it like bowed at me, like it like lowered its head and bowed. And then I was like, well, I guess that wasn't a shadow.
Georgina wasn't the only person in the family to experience something strange.
My youngest sister, she won't mind if I talk about her. My youngest sister, Mia, when she was really little, like around between like 4 and 6, she would talk about that she saw an old woman in her bedroom. And she was also very afraid of amputees, like anyone missing a limb. She would like freak out and scream. But after that happening, her saying there was an old woman in her room and her being afraid of amputees, my grandpa, he brought up shortly after, he was like, oh, I found out this house was my old teacher's house, my one-armed school teacher. And I was like, what? So we find out a one-armed school teacher had lived in this house. And I did research and I found out her name was Clara. And I found out that she built this house and that she like never got married. She actually had lived with her parents previously, and then they both passed and she built this house. But so that freaked me out that, you know, my sister's afraid of people missing limbs and she says there's an old woman in her room. And we find out that, so that was weird. I'm trying to think of any other instances that really stand out to me. Those are the main ones, really, just other, you know, normal. Oh, no. And then I'm trying to think, like, then the closet thing with the radio. But those are the main experiences I remember. But like, still now to this day, it's been 9 years since I've lived there, but I still have weird dreams and nightmares about the house, and they actually didn't stop. I mean, I still get them occasionally, but they were really bad, but they stopped being as frequent when I went and researched about Clara, the one-armed school teacher. And I like found out, you know, things just about her, and I almost feel like she wanted someone to kind of know about her and kind of know some things that she went through. And I just got some feelings that her life wasn't that great. Yeah. And I mean, that house is strange. Like, I think the main spirit was Clara, but I don't think that shadow figure was her. Like, it felt more masculine. Like, I felt like there was like a masculine spirit also in the home, which when I was doing research, like, I just kept getting this vibe that like Clara and her father had like a weird relationship. So my family also has like weird kind of psychic things happen. So I almost got the vibe, just a feeling when I was doing the research, that possibly Clara was like abused sexually by her father. And I almost got a feeling that like the masculine spirit was him, and he was sometimes negative and sometimes not, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there something you read that kind of gave you the impression she might have been abused, or was it just a feeling you got?
It was just a feeling I got. So when I was doing the research, I found most of the information I got about her were from social columns in newspapers, like from like the 30s. And it talked, and like it was like, oh, the daughter, you know, of this family is away, you know, teaching in this town, but she's coming back for Thanksgiving. And like, so it seemed like for a good portion of her life, she was away in different towns, but when as an adult. But then when her mother passed away is when it from what I found, it like from like I can't even, from censuses, is she moved back once her mother died, and then she was with her father, but and he passed away shortly after. But so there's not really anything that I found that really gave evidence to that. So I'm really just going off of a feeling or maybe a narrative I made up in my head. But I don't know. I just, after I like read about her and I got this feeling, like I almost felt like a relief, like, you know, she had been this woman, she didn't have children, she never got married, she was always away teaching, and then I just got this feeling that there was a weird relationship with her father, and then when I felt that is when I felt relief, and then it was after that that I stopped having the nightmares about the house.
Once again, Georgina seems to have passed on whatever sensitivity she has to her son. But even she is a little skeptical.
At the house I currently live at, I haven't really experienced anything, but my son, he's 4, almost 5. He told me that, but again, he could just be making it up because he said a lot of weird things, but he like multiple times has said that there was like a man in his room, like in the corner. He said that he was wearing black and was wearing a hat, but that was, and said he was scary, but that was the only details he gave. And I didn't press him because I've had these experiences my whole life, but I still get freaked out. So, so I didn't really want more details from him, but that was all he said. And, you know, I went in there and there's nothing. But the second time he did it, I went in there and I was like, it was kind of more of a show for him, for my son. But I was like, hey, if there's a spirit in here, can you just leave my son alone? Like, you know, if you're bad, we don't want you here. And then after that, my son never has brought it up again. But again, you know, he has an imagination, but I could see him like having similar experiences to me. We live in like the Mill Creek area right now, but I used to have an apartment downtown on First, and our apartment was this old house, and then it was next to this huge mansion that for a while was a mortuary. And my son, like, he would always say that he saw ghosts in the windows there, and I asked him what they looked like, and he just said they were really big. And I was like, I don't know, when I was a kid, like, I saw stuff, but I could also you know, see myself like saying I saw a ghost for fun. So
So how do you know if your child is experiencing something ghostly or just imagining things? And what do you do if they come to you with a weird story or experience? I don't know. I don't have kids, and I don't see ghosts. I don't have any good advice. It kind of seems like Kevin's approach of giving the child tools to deal with some of the potential anxieties that could be at play, that seems pretty sound. Go with that. When I interviewed Natalie, I said, kids are weird. And she had a good answer to that.
One, don't have kids if you can't accept that. Two, don't have kids if you're scared easily. They're freaking terrifying.
Thank you for listening. The Ghost Box is written, produced, hosted, all the stuff, by me, Dory Peacock, with mixing and scoring by Parker Biabeg, who also composed our nifty theme tune. Special thanks to our four-legged furry production assistant, George Moosington Adams, Esquire, because of course my cat is a lawyer. Just a cute, fluffy little lawyer with cute lawyer paws. Sorry, I got distracted there. I want to thank all of my storytellers for letting me use their material. Jody, Jen, Mary, Natalie, Kevin, Georgina, all you guys are champions. I also want to give a Patreon patron shout out to Elliot Lee, who became one of my $5 tier patrons. We call them Intelligent Haunts. If you, like Elliot, would like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/theghostbox or just go to patreon.com and search The Ghost Box. We'll also have a link on our Anchor webpage. You can go over there, donate a little bit of money each month, and in return, you get access to special bonus content, like monthly AMAs, bonus stories that didn't make it into the episodes, and all sorts of other fun things. We just got stickers in to send to all patrons, so if you want a special patrons-only Ghost Box sticker and access to all of the fun bonus content, you can toss a coin in the box, as we say, over at patreon.com/theghostbox. If you have a story that you'd like to share with us, you can email theghostboxpod@gmail.com or slide into our DMs on Instagram, Twitter, and now Facebook at theghostboxpod. Same handle for all social medias. You can also call our paranormal hotline at 801-410-4315. That's 801-410-4315. Leave us a message with a short description of your story and your contact info, and if we think it's right for the show, we'll get back to you. Last of all, if you like the show, please rate and review on your podcatcher of choice. We're on Apple, Spotify, all the good ones. It helps people to find the show if you rate and review. If you didn't like the show, well, maybe there's an Amazon.com coffin for you. Just kidding. Thanks for listening, everyone, and stay spooky.
This person on TikTok who does a bit called Proud Mom of a Daughter Who's Obviously Haunted. No, Nana, no, I can't FaceTime right now. You're ruining my story. Oh, sorry. There's this
that TikTok. Might make it into the outtakes, full disclosure.
Good. I will be severely disappointed if I don't at least get a ringtone out of that.